Hi, I'm Femi Oke. Today on the stream, we are going to be looking at the reasons why a viral social media post on Facebook unleashed weeks of anti-Hindu violence. Al Jazeera's Tanveer Chowdhury reported on the protests that quickly followed.
Thousands of protesters have gathered here at Shahbagh Square in the capital, Dhaka. People from all walks of life, Hindus, Muslims, Christians, Buddhists, have gathered here to protest against what took place in the last several days across the country against Hindu Bangladeshis. They're here to protest. They want justice. Many of them are on hunger strike. We spoke to some of the protesters. This is what they have to say.
Our holy Hindu book, Gita, was burned. Many Hindus were killed. Minority women were raped. These incidents keep happening one after another, yet we never get real justice.
We were born here. We are taxpayers and contributing to the country's development in every sector. Yet we are being attacked and marginalized in every way. Now we are here to protest and fight for our survival.
How can Bangladesh protect its Hindu community? That is the theme for today's show. If you're on YouTube, you can be part of our program. Put your comments, your questions, your stories even right here in the comment section and be part of the discussion. Let's meet the panel. Hello to Tanveer Chowdhury. You saw him just there reporting. Shafi and Nina. Shafi, welcome to the stream. Nice to have you. Please introduce yourself to our international audience. Tell them who you are and what you do.
I'm Shafi Mustafa. I'm Assistant Professor of World Religions and Culture, University of Dhaka.
Good to have you. Hello, Nina. Welcome to the stream. Introduce yourself to our global audience.
Hi, I'm Nina Goswami. I'm the Director Program of Aino Shalish Kendo, which is a human rights and legal aid organization.
Nice to have you and welcome back, Tanveer. Good to have you on the stream always. We reached out, Tanveer's heard me say this many times, we reached out to government officials to be part of today's programme. We received absolutely no response. Let's start with a look at where some of these outbursts of violence have happened in Bangladesh. Showing my laptop here, Tanveer, perhaps you can help me out here, because it's not just one area. There have been religious sites and shops and homes damaged right across Bangladesh. Can you explain why this happened from a viral social media post that actually was probably quite mischievous and probably wasn't anybody disrespecting the Muslim faith or Islam at all? Probably not.
So should I go first?
Yeah, Tanveer, you go first, and then Shafi, you go second. Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
So as a journalist, of course, I've been observing primary data, TVs, and also talking to a lot of colleagues what's going on. This obviously is not the first time it happened in Bangladesh. On many occasions we have seen, especially during Hindu religious festival, surprisingly these sort of events take place. This time was much more significant, much more dramatic. You know, of course, at least three Hindu Bangladeshis were killed. Four Muslim protesters who were probably in the mob that were trying to attack the temples were shot dead by police. So it's a very tragic event. Now, we know at least six districts had a very dramatic incidents, including Kumilla, which is in the east or southeast, you may call it, Nuakhali. And in north, Kurigram, it was a very tragic incident from all account. I mean, these are very poor community. They were living in more rural settings. Their homes were attacked. Many of them had to take shelter in the paddy field just to save their life because they were scared. They didn't know who's going to protect them. There weren't any police. Incidentally, a lot of people interviewed later even came out in videos in social medias. The local people are saying that, look, typically we don't have communal problem between Hindus and Muslims in this area.
I hear that a lot. I've heard that a lot. And yet I'm seeing these pictures of these outbreaks of violence. Tanveer, let me just share the conversation with Shafi. Shafi, go ahead, pick up.
Sure.
Okay, so I think for two reasons these attacks are so significant and as well as worrying. The first of all, the spiral effects of the violence that is spread across the country. And number two, the frequent attacks on the minorities in the last 9 years, since 2013, over 3,600 attacks. And if I go into why this is happening, so first of all, I must say that the immediate the cause for these violence is definitely the defamation of the Holy Quran by placing it underneath the Hindu god Hanuman. So this is the immediate cause, but I would say this is just a causes belli. This is not the actual reason. I see these violences from two perspectives. Number one is there are some masterminds behind these attacks, and they have their own agendas, and these are political, communal, and the economic interests. And they are neither Muslims nor Hindus. They're just criminals. And secondly, I would like to see these attacks from another point of view. Look, the mob is attacking the minorities' houses and their temples. And that needs to be analyzed from socio-religious and the historical and the colonial perspectives. And then we can understand a little bit the whole dynamics of what's actually happening in the country right now.
Let me bring. I hear you. There's a lot for us to talk about. Nina, let me bring you into the conversation. I want to play the Prime Minister, Sheikh Hasina, and her response to these weeks of violence. Have a listen, have a look, and then I'm really interested in your response, Nina. Here's the Prime Minister.
This is really unfortunate. As to what happened a few days ago, there's an investigation going on and we're getting lots of information. And of course, whoever is involved with instigating this sort of incident, we definitely will find them.
Go ahead, Nina.
I want to talk about the history of Bangladesh. I want to go before the Liberation War. In 1947, the continent was divided in the name of religion, the India and Pakistan. And in 1971, our Muktijuddha comes and the Liberation War was happened on the basis of nationalism, not on the basis of religion. But after 1975, the two major generals comes and govern Bangladesh, and they remove the secularisms from the constitutions. They inserted Bismillah in the preamble of the constitution, and they brought the state religion. Islam is the religion of states. So this is the history of Bangladesh. And after a long time, this present government tried to bring the reinsert the secularism in the constitutions, but it is a time of thinking. Now what is happening? And the secularism was sent to exile. But in the two political political parties are doing alliances with religion parties. That BNP has made an alliance with Jamaat-e-Islam, and Awami League deals with Hifazat-e-Islam. So I think that the religion is used as the tool of political benefit.
Okay, hear Nina. I hear you. I'm just going to say to the basis of our audience who are outside of Bangladesh and don't know Bangladesh as well. Absolutely, Tanvir. Let me just finish this so I can help our audience understand a little bit more if they need to. 90% of the population in Bangladesh, Muslim, 9% Hindu. That's an important fact for you to know. Tanvir, go ahead.
I mean, both of them said pretty much I agree with. There is a far more deeper roots to all this problem. I mean, it, as Nina has pointed out, since 1947, the partition of Greater India into East and West Pakistan, you know, and it was based, obviously, division was based on religion. That deep-rooted sentiment still exists, you know. It's not necessarily communal in feeling, but it's also nationalist in feeling. Whatever happened in the region has a sentiment that sparks in each of the country. We have seen in India in recent days riots in Delhi and other places, the National Citizenship Act, the cross-border killing of Bangladeshis in the border area by Indian security forces. All those sentiment plays into nationalism sentiment in Bangladesh. And as both of them rightfully pointed out, that politics is a major factor here. I mean, all the parties, it's not just the religious Jamaat-e Party or the Bangladesh Nationalist Party, which is technically the main opposition party, which was in power at least twice. And even the ruling party, having constitution and everything written doesn't change your sentiment. We have seen populist movement in many parts of the world in recent years, as well as what happened in Yugoslavia. It's far more deep-rooted. And when things like social media is now there, a lot of false videos from both sides of the border, India and Bangladesh, we're spiraling
Social media becomes another tool. Let me just share this with you for our audience who are not familiar with the region. If you have a look at the map of where Bangladesh is, I'm going to go in a little bit closer. See how close it is, how close the border is with India. How what happens in India is going to influence Bangladesh and vice versa. Shafi.
Yeah, it's located inside the India. In other sense.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
I'd just like to add with the Tanvi that, he rightly pointed out the influence of India. And in my little bit discussion, I mentioned that social influence. Look at what is happening in the neighboring countries, that both in Myanmar and India. So what we can observe in the social media, the videos of persecuting Muslim population in both in Myanmar, as well as in India, that has a negative effect. And I studied radicalization last 4 or 5 years. I have seen the Al-Qaeda's, the ISIS, these groups are using that anti-Muslim sentiment by the Hindus and Buddhists. They persist like that. And the social media is full of those persecution videos. I think that's what I was telling, why the mob, a certain section of the population are getting violent and having the anti-non-Muslim sentiment. Why this trend is growing up? I think this is one of the reasons that...
Shafi, may I share something?
Proxy victimization, I call it the proxy victimization, that feeling of proxy victimization of Bengali Muslims. What's happening inside India and Myanmar, that is affecting Bangladeshi population as well.
Let me share something with you. Excuse me, Shafi. Nazmul Ahsan is an investigative reporting program. He's a journalist. He talks about the digital space and how powerful it is when we're talking about division of communities in Bangladesh. Here he is.
What is unique about these recent tensions or clashes or violence is that they all are originated from digital space and they all are have something to do with heartened religious sentiment. And this trend is or was linked to the Shahbag movement, which demanded death penalties for Islamist politicians accused of war crimes, and then the Hafazat Islam, which demanded blasphemy laws or death penalties for whoever hurt Islam or its God or its prophets. So I think yes, and also the ruling party's insistence on clinging on to power at any cost also sidelined overall democratic discourse that also polarized the overall society and country.
So many layers going on there. Shafi, go ahead.
Obviously the society is being polarized based on the two sides, like the Shahbag movement and the Hafazat movement. But definitely government has handling these two sides very, very technically. And still a long way to go. Like I would say still there are some rooms. Look at the constitution of the country. Still the nation building after nearly 50 years, we have the secularism as well as the state religion in the constitution. So there is ambiguity, and that ambiguity shows what actually happening in the society. So definitely Awami League has to do a lot because the people have the enormous faith on the daughter of the Bangabandhu Sheikh Mujibur Rahman. So I think it's still a long way to go, and these issues, they need to implement some inclusive policies to incorporate political dissents as well as the minorities.
I'm going to introduce an imam's voice into our conversation. This is Imam Ajmal Masroor, and he is really wrestling with the nature of Bangladesh. What does it mean? What does this mean about Bangladesh and its ability for one faith to talk to another faith and live happily together? This is what Imam told us earlier.
The intercommunal violence in Bangladesh is awful. It's despicable. It should be immediately stopped. Muslims and Hindus, Christians, Buddhists and people of all faith are equal citizens of that country. We're all equal. We're all human. So please stop the violence, stop the fights. What I would like to say to Bangladesh government is if Bangladesh truly had democracy, had freedom and rule of law, this would not be happening. Bangladesh needs a complete democracy and overhaul. It needs law and order. It needs communities to come together and create a civilized and inclusive society. Bangladesh requires strength and unity.
Tanvir, the government and officials didn't want to come on this program to discuss this issue that is prevalent in Bangladesh, certainly right now. What are they doing about it?
Well, there's a judicial inquiry. The High Court requested a judicial inquiry on the incident in Kumilla. Now, we've seen after every incident like this in previous years also, there's a lot of arrests, there's a lot of accusation, people, unknown people been accused and been taking part of those. And then a few months before, it's out of the media and you don't hear about it, who was actually behind it, who was a real culprit, and the politics takes its toll. We are 2 years away from election, the general election. It's a contentious issue. The opposition as well as the ruling party blames each other, and every time things like that happen. It's not a problem of the society as a journalist looking from a different perspective. I don't think Bangladesh is a country where you see people are communal on an everyday basis. Hindus and Muslims in Bangladesh typically got along very well. It's always some incident as nowadays in social media.
You got to jump in.
Yes, sure. Please do.
Okay. I think the most important thing is the trust is broken between the Hindus and Muslims.
Absolutely.
Government can do, they build their temples and build their houses. They can do it easily. But it's very difficult to rebuild the trust between the Hindus and Muslims. And that requires the government interference. Because that trust building, repairing that trust is very important because we are Bengalis. We are living side by side last 1,000 years. And that trust is broken in some areas. I should not say it's broken in every areas of the country, but definitely the trust is broken and that needs to be rebuilt.
Shafiq.
In order to do so, yes.
Yeah. Just finish very quickly, because I want to bring in Nina here, because this is very personal for Nina. Shafiq, just finish your sentence. Go ahead, and then I'm going to bring Nina's voice in.
I want to suggest something to build their trust.
Yeah.
But if you want to hear from Nina, but I will discuss this later.
Nina, I'm just looking here at the Prime Minister on my laptop here. Hindus have fought alongside their Muslim brothers during the Liberation War. They have equal rights in Bangladesh. How do you get to a situation where that is happening down on the ground, Nina?
If we think that, obviously we think that that Hindus and Muslims have the equal rights, but the need, equal rights, the Prime Minister, obviously, she said, but it is not in practice. Equal rights, how the equal rights will establish. The culture of impunity exists here. from the 2001, there is no judgment in favor of victims of violence, communal violence. Few judgments we can say that very few judgments, but there are many cases are filed from 2002, 2001, 2007, 2008, 2013, 2014, and never we didn't get any judgments in favor of victims. And it is I can say that it is the in favor of state also, because these cases are filed by the state. It is a failure. This is a,
so Nina, let me just go back.
This is not only for these cases. So,
yeah.
And there are many causes. I can talk about this. That there is no uniform educational system. There are many types of educational systems exists here. There are many types of
minority crimes occurring
here, but they are not getting the justice. Mm-hmm. So how the equal rights will be established by us? By the government.
All right. So let me just go via Twitter one more time, because I only have Twitter as the government voice. I don't have the government voice. So Arami League, government has taken swift initiatives to provide relief assistance and rehabilitation support for the victims of the recent communal violence. Prime Minister Sheikh Hasina has instructed officials to build new houses for victims. Okay. And then some more. I just want to go.
I have strict objection in the language of relief assistance.
Yeah.
Why relief assistance? This must be compensation by the state.
Mm. Right, so the relief assistance is not enough.
The trust needs to be rebuilt.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear that. And I think that's really important. You made that point very clearly. Let me just bring in one more voice. This is Tasneem Tayeb from the Daily Star with a whole list of ideas about where we go from here in Bangladesh and that issue of communal violence. Have a listen.
Religious freedom and communal harmony are deeply rooted in the diverse characteristic of Bangladesh, and our values are seeped in the spirit of Bengali nationalism. Of course, there are certain elements that are trying to serve vested interests of various quarters, and the government now needs to eliminate them. They have taken measures to bring the culprits to justice. However, for long-term stability, they need to take a hard look at the pockets that harbor such radicalized ideas, and if needed, even engage them in dialogue. Also, if you have noticed, many of the attackers were young men. So we also need to look at the aspect of engaging them in productive economic activities and mentoring them and guiding them in the right direction. You see, the context of these attacks are multifaceted, and therefore changing perception alongside greater vigilance would be critical here.
So I just want to pick up on some of the thoughts that you've been sharing on YouTube, audience. Thank you for that. Alam says, all Bangladeshi citizens enjoy equal rights in our country. It doesn't matter if they're Hindu or Muslim. I'm not sure if you're watching the same programme, Anam, but the conversation that we've been having would maybe suggest otherwise. Roger says, why are the attacks against Hindus happening now? Why now? Tanvir, just very quickly, can you put into context why now?
I think part of it, as I said, it's election year politics. I mean, not election year, but two years away.
Yeah,
but typically, the politics starts at least a year or two ahead of time. It's difficult to pinpoint who's behind this unless a real, true investigative by the security forces takes place and the real culprits are behind. But the sentiment is another dimension. The judgment is another dimension.
Yeah.
People get hyped up. There are a lot of people in rural areas that don't understand the complexity of this. Once they hear a Quran has been desecrated, they get very emotional. There are religious parties who hype them up. And, you know, that's when... Typically, that happens in India also. A similar situation happens.
Thank you, Tanvir Chowdhury.
Judgment has to be
made. All right. Yeah, thank you. Tanvir and Shafi and Nina, so much to talk about. But this is the end of the show for now. Thank you, guests, for being part of the programme. Thank you, YouTubers, for your comments. I'll see you next time. Take care, everybody.